Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this Friday? I hope everyone is ready to celebrate a nice Labor Day weekend. Thank you, first of all, for before you celebrate your holiday, that you decided to tune into Locker Talk. Right now, you're listening to Locker Talk. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you listen to Locker Talk right now on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you'll hear about NFL stars of tomorrow. Today, I hope everyone is having a blessed day. You can always reach me directly by email, my personal email at barrybarnes@locker-report.com or on Twitter at locker_report, Facebook, lockerreport.com, and on Instagram, all lower caps, lockerreport100. All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Once again, cannot say that enough. Well, as we know, the preseason came to its conclusion last night with 16 games. All the teams in the league was able to get their last dance. So, you know, I would say for the teams to find out who's going to make their roster, how they're going to build their depth chart for this season, how they're going to move forward. Tomorrow is all the teams have to get to 53-man roster by 4 o'clock. And last night's game pretty much was to see who was going to be, you know, probably that next special teams guy or someone who they know is going to be pretty good to build up their depth. And then also just to be ultimately the question, will this guy or this player be good enough for our team this year? So that's what everything boiled down to last night. I will talk about that, talk about some performances, primarily of the players that went through, that ventured through the NFL Regional Combine. That's my lane. That's the part of the NFL that I cover, that I like to say I cover the NFL within the NFL to bring you guys news about players and information that you necessarily will not see anywhere else, just to give you more of an enlightenment, give you more information, more so than anything. You can always go somewhere else to find out the latest news. But on this show, I'm going to give you some good nuggets. And one of the things I'm going to start off with the show today basically was off a great, great question that was asked last week while I was on the show, and I did not get a chance to, you know, the listener. I do apologize, but I will address that today to start the show. And last week I talked about the helmet rule, how it's being called heavy this preseason. And last week I explained how everyone is in that preseason mode, and to have that call called a lot, especially in his first 2 weeks. Now, it is a new rule. Everyone has to adjust. The players are making the adjustments, and also, most important, the officials are making their adjustments as well. Now, based off my information and being around the NFL officials, and this is solely my opinion, I really believe they went heavy on the helmet rule early in the preseason just to get things on tape for themselves. It's nothing different from a player, from a team practicing to get tape on a player or get tape on a certain play or a certain scheme they try to run so they can perfect it moving forward. And with the helmet-to-helmet rule, which is new to everyone, although the players for the last couple of years have been making their adjustments in how they target, actually seeing what they hit, trying to keep their body aligned adjacent from their head with their spine so they would not create any neck or head injuries outside of concussion. So the players are making their adjustments. Now with the new rule, the officials had to make their adjustments too. The first 2 weeks, I alluded to that, the helmet rule was called 53 times. 41 of those times my fault. 43 of those times were from the defense. The rest was actually calls from the offense. Now, last Wednesday, what I do know was that the competition committee did meet in New York by via phone, conference call, and they talked about the helmet-to-helmet rule and far as the penalties that that was flagged during the course of the first 2 weeks. And what the officials were able to realize is that they wanted to make sure, most importantly, that the calls are called right, want to recognize if a player is actually trying to protect themselves or use their helmet, you know, as a weapon or as an attack point. And so they recognize, you know, the difference between the incidental contacts and helmet-to-helmet situations. So with that being said, week three, 27, the helmet-to-helmet calls was called in week two. Moving forward to the following week, which was week three, only 9 helmet-to-helmet penalties were called. So from week two, from 27 down to 9. So that is a major adjustment where they were at least in one, at least in a game, they were average at least 1.5 helmet-to-helmet penalties called. Within 1 week, it went down to 0.6. So you see the adjustments that that's there, that they really take an initiative to get it right now because, like I said last week, and I said sometime before talking about the officials attending their clinics, it's best that they get this situation straightened out now because they don't want to call and make a wrong, throw a flag in a situation that could cause a team their opportunity to win. And that's the last thing that they want to see happen. So that's why they're making their adjustments now. Everyone is having their preseason. The officials, they're having their preseason as well. So this is something that has been taken into account that I can bring to my listeners that this is what the league is doing to make sure that going forward in 2018, you won't hear too many radical calls made based off of the helmet-to-helmet play. So that is something that I know for a fact and something I'm bringing to everyone to watch out and witness that it will get better and your team will not lose to a penalty such as this. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes. Reach out to me. Send me anything as far as a question, anything via email at barrybarnes@locker-report.com. On Twitter, locker_report. Facebook, lockreport.com, and Instagram, lockreport100. Now, based off of what I talked about with the details with the officials, I had someone, a listener, that contact yet last week, and they asked them a very good question. They was asked, where is the helmet rule designed to help offenses and protect the stars, the players, or both? And that's a legitimate question about the helmet, because it is, first and foremost, it is all about safety. And what the league is trying to establish, not so much on their playing fields, but they also want to try to establish on the lower levels, venturing down to college, to high school, and also, most importantly, to Little League. If the league set the standard first, everyone will follow. So the signal, well, actually the message the NFL is trying to put out is the safety component. Because this was a component that was ignored for decades. Now they have a situation, and now they have the technology, they have the medicine, they have the know-how. Now they can really focus on it, and the most important thing, to make sure they focus on it and not drastically change the game of football. The league knows, everyone who's involved with football know that injury is going to occur. We know players are going to get hurt. We know that's a part of the game. And that's something that cannot be stopped. However, it can be limited. And that's the whole point for the helmet-to-helmet situations with the rule changes in the league. And that's where the whole basis of the helmet-to-helmet rule. When I come back from this short break, I'll give you my answer. And I'm going to make y'all guys think and really change y'all perspective about sports with the answers, or with the answer that I have to this question based off last week. Listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network.
For a window into today's current events, from a spiritual perspective, tune into From a Christian Perspective with Prophetess Joyce Payne every Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 10 a.m. on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network every Friday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time at blogtalkradio.com and the podcast at thebachelorpadnetwork.com. Listen to 30 minutes of insight on issues concerning religion, race, women's rights, authority abuse, political dysfunction, economic disparity, and more on From a Christian Perspective. Listen every Friday beginning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time only at blogtalkradio.com and the podcast at thebachelorpadnetwork.com.
Thanks. Thanks for returning back to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. You can always go to my site and find some exclusive content on the NFL. I like to say the NFL within the NFL. Now, to the question of the message from the listener from last week, is the helmet rule designed to help offenses protect the stars, players, or both? I always said that the whole point for the rule is all about safety. Number two, I want y'all guys to look at athletes. Once you look at NFL athletes as property. Now, let's look at property in itself with a house and have a home. You want to make sure you keep up with the structure of the home. You want to make sure the outside looks good. You want to make sure that grass is always cut. Don't want to have no trash out in your gutters on your street. You want to make sure your pavement looks neat. You want to make sure you protect your property, because if you can protect your property and your whole community protects their property, the value of your home will go up. When you look at positions in the NFL, the most important positions are garnered around the players that are closer to the ball. And we all know the closest player to the ball and the person that have control of the ball have more influence in the game. And the person that have the most influence in the game is your quarterback. If you protect your quarterback, you protect your franchise, you protect your team, you protect your season, and most of all, you protect, as from the owner perspective, you protect your money. So when you protect the quarterback, your property, your house with five bedrooms and three bathrooms and, you know, with all this square footage and acres that you have around your home, when you protect that asset, like I said, players are assets. When you look at the NFL, when you have players that play in the league, they are assets. They are not players in the perspective of what's on paper as far as what's the bottom line for NFL teams. So that's why they have these rules in to help protect the quarterback. To further bring this opinionated feeling that I have, I look at the salary structure and look at what the average position player makes in the NFL. Now, we all know your quarterback is your highest player because the market commands it. No matter if your quarterback is average or below average, the market for the quarterback is always high. Now, based off the position pay, based off of a chart that I found, that I actually memorized from back in 2004, and it really didn't change as much. Now, when you look at the quarterback position, they're going to average around $20 million. Now, the deal that Aaron Rodgers signed a couple of days is going to change the entire game. You know, so that's going to take it up to close to 23 or 25 on average. So that's going to be your high. That's your major asset. The next person, the next position that have influence on the team that's closest to the ball is actually your defensive end. Your defensive end on the defense side, his job is to stop the number one guy who's closest to the ball, your defensive end. Now, that's why they have rules set up on the offensive line, like with your chop blocks, you know, your peel back blocks. There's certain blocks that's not allowed by the offensive line to actually initiate on a defensive player. And that asset, that piece of property, the second most highest most important asset to a team is your defensive end. So they're going to average around $18 million a year. Now, Aaron Donald, most likely, he's going to break the bank on that, and that's going to go up. Your wide receivers is your close third. So your defensive end and your wide receiver, they normally beat each other out. It's more like back and forth between a wide receiver and a defensive end. And so you have your wide receivers on average about $17.3 million. Now, with the deal that Odell Beckham has signed earlier this week, that's going to change. So they're your three top positions. Your three prime real estate positions you have in the NFL that's closest to the ball that they want to protect. Your running back comes fourth. They're going to average around $14.4 million. That's going to change now since Ty Gurley signed his deal. That's going to bump up to around $16. So when you look at your four prime positions in the NFL, the ones that have the most, that are closest to the ball, that have the most major influence, that piece of property, that major asset, that's why the rules in the league, not only for safety reasons, but also it's also to protect the franchise. It's also to protect the players, because those players and those positions are very key to a team's success. And if you lose your quarterback and your backup quarterback come in, and last year we saw what Nick Foles was able to do for Carson Wentz, still come in, still was able to get the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, that's very valuable. And if you have a good piece, if you have that property or that asset that's really good and you're in a well-established neighborhood and you keep that property top-notch and you know the value of that property is not going to go down, the only way that property will go down if you don't take care of it. And if you don't take care of your home, you don't take care of your property, the value is going to go down. And if they don't take, and if NFL teams and franchises do not take care of the quarterback, if the NFL don't make sure, if they don't take care of their quarterback, then the value of the league, the value of the team will go down, because you're going to have teams losing because their most important asset, the quarterback, is not good enough. And then teams will lose money because people don't want to come and see a loser. You're going to have a particular part of the brand that's not going to sell worldwide or countrywide like how it should, because you don't have a good quarterback and your team is not winning. So with all that in place, not surpassing the most important thing of safety, because the players, although we don't play the game, but there's the 1,600 guys that do play the game, they appreciate the rule more than us, because they actually are out there. They're the ones that's sustaining, you know, the situation. They understand, they're sustaining the injuries. Now, I know that future Hall of Fame wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald said, and he made a comment, that instead of going for my knees, he preferred to get hit high, because he recognized that his asset, his bottom line, his career, his money is predicated to his legs, and he don't want nothing to happen with him physically. So when they have certain rules that come out to help protect not just the league, but also the players and also the bottom line across the board, not just the league, not just the owners, not just the franchises, but the players too. Because one thing you're not going to hear a player complain about is, hey, you know, these guys should hit me a certain way to try to make the game better because I can take it. You will never hear a player say that. You're going to say, hey, he hit me. Hey, watch this, ref. Hey, he came from my knees. He's trying to hit me in my head, because the player knows that if you hit those vital parts of their body, you're going to hurt them and you're going to hurt their bottom line. So it's like a three-way street. League, teams, players, they all in the same boat and look at the way how the rules are set up. So to answer the listener's question, to some degree, not primary, but to some degree, these rules are in place to help protect the stars, to help protect the positions. So to some degree, to answer your question, yes, it's set up, you know, for that. Not solely, because number one is all about safety, But yes, to protect their major assets and those players, yeah, that's a real deal. You listen to Locker Talk Radio. You listen to Locker Talk on Bachelor Pad Radio Network. Your host Barry Bonds, where you find out NFL stars of tomorrow, today, and we're gonna talk about those guys right now. Somebody give you some music for the can. I'm ready to get rock and rolling with my guys from the NFL Regional Combine. They look good this preseason, so that's the best part I would say about this year and each year. I can honestly say that the play from the players have gotten better during the preseason, and some of the players that actually did very well this preseason, and the ones that was more consistent was Alex McGould, who was a seventh round pickup for the Seattle Seahawks, who's a backup. Now, last week I was proud, even I put in my article, you can go and check it out at locker-report.com, that how I believe that the Seattle Seahawks found their backup quarterback. They didn't necessarily need to go out to get anyone because Matt Gould looked like Russell Wilson out there on the field, although he's taller than Russell Wilson, very athletic, coming from Florida Atlantic. But with them trading, getting Brant Huntley from the Green Bay Packers, that's going to really push McGould out of that picture to back him up. Now, will the Seahawks keep three quarterbacks on their roster? We don't know. Traditionally, most teams normally would just keep just two quarterbacks and probably keep a quarterback on the practice squad. So I see by tomorrow that they're going to have Huntley going back up Russell Wilson, and I believe McGould is definitely going to make that practice squad. They're not going to let that young man go because he had the talent to play in this league, and he threw another touchdown pass, you know, last night. So he's someone to, you know, definitely watch out for moving forward, whether if he's going to be a career backup or if he may get his opportunity somewhere down the road in the NFL to be a starter. So he's someone to definitely keep your eyes out. Now, there's the tight end, Hakeem Vols. Now, Hakeem has been a journeyman in the league for a while, spent most of his career with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, he's been playing very well at the tight end position for the Detroit Lions. He's healthy. I believe that he's going to make that roster. Tonyo Jr., who's also a tight end for the Green Bay Packers. I know Jimmy Graham was brought in to be the extra target for Aaron Rodgers, but Robert is really showing that he can be a major player in this league and probably put the Packers in a situation where they can use two tight end fronts and two tight end sets, because he's pretty much a tweener. He can be a tight end, and he also can line up as wide receiver. So watch out for his name being called or signing or actually making that roster for the Green Bay Packers. Also, another player that's been really, really good this year, B.J. Bello, for a linebacker for the Cleveland Browns. He's been a stud this whole preseason. Got a lot of playing time compared to last year's preseason. Well, last season he made the 53-man roster, come from Illinois State, undrafted guy, did an excellent job on special teams. This preseason was his coming out party to show the Browns that he can play and be a major player for this defense. And knowing what happened to Kendricks with the insider trading and him being released, it may have opened the door for Bello to actually get some playing time on the defense side of the ball this year. Another young man, Justin Zimmer, played for the Atlanta Falcons. He's a defensive tackle, really showed a lot of heart this preseason, came up with a couple of sacks, showed that he could bring that depth to actually be what the Falcons need. And the Falcons, what they desperately need is a pass rush up front. Their interior defense is not very good and has struggled the last couple of years from the middle. The edge is pretty good, but bringing pressure up the middle was that downfall. You see a lot of successful quarterbacks that steps up in the pocket very well would pick Atlanta's defense apart because they were not getting no pressure up the middle with Zimmer being there, a Division II product who is very strong. He can help bring some kind of stability in that position there. So that's someone there to watch out for the Atlanta Falcons. And the Arizona Cardinals, they have a good cornerback there named Dietrich Nichols. Now, Dietrich, he will go against all the odds. He's about 5'10", 190 pounds, a lightweight guy, but he's extremely physical. And he loves to hit, have incredible leaping ability. So he'll be someone to watch out, definitely on special teams for sure. I really believe that he's going to make this team. I think he'll probably most likely come in as a practice squad player, and then eventually jump and show some signs and get him out there during the regular season, because he's really showing that he really has something to bring to that defense. On the offense side of the ball, I know everybody had their fantasy drafts last week, and I know it may be a long shot, but he's been proving himself with the Houston Texans and wide receiver Vincent Smith. Division II product from Limestone College. He was last year he was the fastest man in the state of South Carolina. So he was faster than even the players that went to South Carolina. You know, low 4.3 speed. So he had the fat, he had the speed, he had good hands. The Houston Tech, he won the games with a game winning touchdown against the 49ers in week two. Caught a big pass in week three for 43 yards to help sustain a drive, which almost gave them an opportunity to win. So this young man has shown that he can play in this league and really showing how viable he really is there. Also, another player that's familiar with Atlanta Falcons, C.J. Goodwin, with Atlanta when they went to the Super Bowl, got picked up by the Cardinals last year, and then he got picked up by the Bengals going to the middle part of this preseason. Got some playing time with the Bengals. I think that he'll find a home there, knowing that Marvin Lewis like aggressive defensive backs, knowing that Pac-Man Jones is no longer there. I can see him filling the void there this year for the Bengals, and he'll be a good piece, you know, to watch out for that squad. You have another guy named Justin Lawler, who's a defensive end for the Los Angeles Rams, who drafted in the 7th round this year. Really going to put a lot of pressure on that coaching staff and basically forcing them to have to put him on an active roster. He's going to be a good player in this league, and he's on a team where he don't necessarily have to be the man off the bat. Now, when he was at SMU, he was he was a starter since his sophomore year, and led his team in tackles in his junior and senior year, over 100 tackles average. And so he carried a major load when he was there. And he's coming into a situation with the Rams where he don't necessarily have to be the man, but if they know they need someone to make a stand, he will be that type of player that can come in and do well. I'm really pulling for Keenan Reynolds, who was a quarterback at Navy, who got drafted by the Ravens 2 years ago, got released, bounced around, came through the pro player combine, got signed by the Seahawks this preseason. Looked pretty good out there as a wide receiver, as he's still transitioning from the quarterback position to now being a wide receiver for the Seahawks in a situation where he's there with in my opinion, that will be a Hall of Famer one day, and Russell Wilson. I really see that he's going to do, you know, very well there. There's another guy named Reggie Davis. He played for the Falcons. He's going to be a return man. I think that he's going to be a player that's very special to watch for Atlanta. Last year he was on the practice squad, but I do see him being in a situation where he could probably make that team and be more of a special team specialist for that squad. There's another guy named Denzel Rice, who's a defensive end for the Cleveland Browns. Very strong, very agile, great jumping ability. I can see him probably making a practice squad and then eventually making himself in a situation where he will make the active roster, but will jump in as a special teams giant. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bassett Pad Radio Network. Next week, we'll talk about the upcoming season. You know, I'll probably dab a little bit into with the NFL, but I'm definitely going to talk about all the guys from the regional combine that made the teams. I'm going to give them all a shout-out, what to expect from these guys going forward in 2018, how I see this platform developing going forward into next year. So it's going to be a great show next week. I hope you guys tune in. Hey, please send me your questions. I will, depending on the question and how many questions I may get, I can alter my show or other things and talk about those questions instead of talking about the stuff that I came in wanting to talk about. I do want to hear your opinion. This is a different NFL show. You will not hear nowhere in the world. I'm proud to say and thankful for Back to Pad Radio Network for allowing me to be able to come and bring you Lock the Talk. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of LockTheDashReport.com. Go to the site. Read the stuff I put up there. You'll find it very, very interesting. And also, you can listen to the show up there as well. Hit me a message directly in my email, Barry Barnes at LockTheDashReport.com. Twitter, Locker_Report. Instagram, LockReport100. And Facebook, LockReport.com. Everyone stay blessed. Enjoy your holiday and be safe.
Rimpage Basketball Club is a one-on-one basketball league. Once you join, you can play anywhere. You use your smartphone to video record your matches and upload them to your online profile, which shows your record, rating, the city you represent, and more. Fans and other league members can visit your profile and view, rate, and comment on your performance. League members compete on two circuits. The first is the general circuit. Each time you play a match, your rating goes up if you win and down if you lose. Your rating determines what class you're in. There are 8 different classes, and everyone starts out in the provisional class, the lowest class. Keep winning and your rating keeps going up, and you graduate to the highest classes. Sani Fayette is the highest class. 2,500 points gets you to graduate to this class. For more info, go to www.rimpage.club.
Good morning, and welcome to Truth and Life Ministries from a Christian perspective on the Bachelor Pad Network. Thank you for joining me again to hear what God has put in my heart to say to you. So I want to welcome all of you that are new listeners, and for those that are returning, thank you for joining me one more time. And I want to teach you something this morning. I have different types of broadcasts that I want to bring, but this morning I just felt like I wanted to teach something, because as I was reading the scriptures this morning for my personal edification, I ran into something that was a revelation to me as I sought out God's answer. Because sometimes you have a question on your mind that you're asking, and you don't know where to get the answer from. And as I was praying this morning, I had something on my heart that I wanted to know the answer to. I was thinking about the things that we're going through and the times that we're living in, and I was thinking about what is the answer and how can we come out of what we're in. And I wanted to know the answer, but I didn't pray and ask God for the answer. But as I came and sat down before my Bible and began to read the word for my own personal edification, I went into Matthew, the book of Matthew, and I started reading somewhere around the 5th chapter, and I got to a certain place there where I felt something, and it spoke to me. And I decided to search it out. And as I searched it out, it gave me an answer, actually the answer to my question. So I want to say to you, first of all, that that is the way I and many people receive an answer from God, because we pray, we seek it, we're meditating on a particular issue, and then when we get in the Word of God, we are actually before the presence of God, because the Word of God is the truth, and Jesus was made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh, and so when we meditate on the Word, when we're reading the Word, when we're fellowshipping with God through the Word of God, God is willing to give us answers. If we are seeking Him, He will give us an answer. So as I was seeking God today, seeking what God would say to me through the Word, he allowed me to come to a particular passage in Matthew chapter 5, and as I searched it out, it gave me the answer that I was looking for. So let's look at that today. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. And this is the book or the chapter in Matthew where it talks about, well, it's actually called the Beatitudes. So Jesus is teaching here on the Mount, and he's basically saying that blessed are the poor in the spirit, blessed are they, those that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's a message in itself and an answer in itself, because if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, if you're seeking God, it says that you shall be filled, and that is the truth. So that's another way in which we find answers, is because we're hungry and we're thirsty after righteousness, and Jesus is righteousness. So it says that if we're seeking righteousness, if we're hungry and thirsty for it, he promises that we shall be filled. It goes on to say, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart. And there's a whole bunch of revelations right there in that, in the Beatitudes alone, but we're not going to go there. But that's the chapter that we're looking at, what Jesus is teaching the people from the Mount. And so it goes on down to verse 18 where it says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And that's the passage that really stood up to me. And I want you to know I am reading from the King James Version, so if you're reading from a different version, you may have the wording a little different. But that is what spoke to me, because it says that not one jot or tittle is going to pass away from the law to all be fulfilled. And the first thing that I thought about there was that, well, you know, many of us have no concern whatsoever about the law, which represents the Ten Commandments, because we see the Ten Commandments as having been passed away. It's old-fashioned. It's not for this modern day. But yet something here in the scripture says that it's not going to pass away till all be fulfilled. And I know those that are scholars have been taught that the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it was. I do not deny that. But there's more there. And that's the reason why we have to read the Bible over and over again. God is saying something else there. And as I began to think about that, I began to think, well, who is the law for? Because there's a word that basically says that the law is for the lawless. And as I began to look to find out what that scripture actually says, after that came to my mind, I began to look to see where was that and what exactly was it saying. And so I looked up the scripture, and I found it in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, where it says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, and for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for the perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So what did it say there? It said that the law is made for the lawless. Now, people that are lawless are not obedient people, and they may not even know what is right or wrong. So they have to be taught through the law. And so it's just like a little child. If you tell a child not to put your hands on a hot stove because it'll burn on their hands, you teach them that because they don't know that, because they're young, they're inexperienced, they have no way of knowing that the hot stove is going to burn them because they have no experience with the stove. So someone that is an adult, if a teacher, has to teach them not to put your hands on a hot stove. So the law has to teach us how to obey so that we can do what's right rather than doing what's wrong. So for lawless people, they need the law, because the law will tell them thou shalt not kill. So if the law says thou shalt not kill, and you are thinking about killing, and the law tells you what the consequences are, and if you don't want those consequences, then you're not going to break that law. So the law says thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And it goes on, and it tells you in the law what the consequences are. So if you don't want those consequences, then you know that you had better not break those laws. So there is there's a protection in knowing what the law says and knowing what the consequences are, and it will help you to govern and guide your behavior because of that law that puts a fear in you of breaking that law. But it says that the law is for the lawless. So that is how some people have to be taught and trained, is through the law telling you you better not. And if you do, this is what will happen. But as I thought about that, I thought about another scripture that basically talks about the purpose of the law. And I went to find that, and I found it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, where it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, ye are no more under the schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. So after that you have come to the law and allowed the law to be your schoolmaster, the law is going to bring you to Christ. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because the harder you try to obey the law, you find out that you have a disobedient mind. You find out that you have a disobedient body that does not want to obey the law. And in your body not obeying, when you're trying to obey, it makes you cry out. And in crying out, it brings you to Christ, because Christ is the intercessor between man and God. And he intercedes on behalf of us to God. That is why he died on the cross, to be an intercessor between us and God, because God could not look on sin. So then the law brings us to Christ. And once we come to Christ, we find grace and mercy, and we find truth. But then as I thought about that the law brings us to Christ, another scripture came to mind about what Christ does and who he brings us to. And I found that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, where let's read that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. If you need a little bit of time to find the scriptures, please go back and play this podcast again, and because it's okay if you don't know where all the chapters are. I have to search for them sometimes myself, and that's not anything to be embarrassed about. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where it says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And the part that I want to look at is that B clause, where it says that he might bring us to God. Look at that. That once we come to Christ, then Christ is going to bring us to God. Now, I know some people think that they can serve God without coming to Christ, but the Bible is letting us know very clearly here that the law is for the lawless, and that it's the law that brings us to Christ. It didn't say bring us to God, it said bring us to Christ, because God cannot look on sin, and we are sinners. So then we needed an intercessor, and that intercessor was Christ, who died on the cross that we could be forgiven of our sins. So once we come to Christ, then it tells us that Christ brings us to God. And that's good news, that Christ brings us to God, because that's where we were trying to get in the first place. When we came to the church, when we came to get saved, we were trying to get to God. But some of us didn't know that we couldn't come directly to God. We had to come through Christ to get to God, because God cannot look on sin. And he said that the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. Blood had to be shed before we could come back to God. And Jesus was the one who lived righteous, who obeyed the law, and he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could come to God through Christ. And so after I thought about that, that Christ brings us to God, then I began to think, well, what next? Now that we've come to God through Christ, what next? And I began to think about, a scripture came to my mind about serving the living God. And I went to find that to see what it said, because I want to know what God was saying to me and to us through his word. So I went to find that scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, and let's turn there and see what God is saying. God is teaching us something through this particular study. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to find out how we can serve this true and living God. Well, first of all, it tells us that we have to turn from idols. What are the idols? Well, everybody has a different type of idol. Your idol may be your money, your pocketbook, maybe your job, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your children, maybe your good looks. It may be in a number of things. What is it that you serve? What is it that you give all your attention and your affection to? That's your idol. But God wants us to turn from those idols to serving the living and true God. So we are looking at here, how do we get to God? And as I was reading in the Beatitudes, it answered some questions for me, because that question that I had earlier was, I was looking at the times in which we're living in, and I was wondering about the way we are struggling, trying to find a way to serve God, and so many of us are trying, and we can't seem to get there, and we don't understand why we can't get there. I've done everything I was told by my mother to do or my father to do. I came to the church, and I tried to be obedient. I did what the pastor told me to do, and to the best of my ability, and yet I still somehow I'm not satisfied. I still don't feel like I'm right. Well, it's always best to seek God, and God will tell us the truth. The Word, Jesus was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. So when we get into the Word, we want to know what Jesus is saying, that this is a red letter edition, and these things that I'm speaking to you in Matthew chapter 5 is what Jesus taught the people on the Mount, and he was trying to tell them about how to serve God. Now, I want to look also in chapter 5 where it says in verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, Jesus came preaching, the kingdom of heaven is not. And he was basically telling them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Jews at that time was waiting for the day when the kingdom of heaven would come. And so now Jesus came teaching that the kingdom of heaven has come. So he's teaching them here that they will not be able to enter in except that their righteousness shall exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes. So who are the Pharisees and the scribes? Well, in that time, the Pharisees and the scribes was in the Jewish community. They were the religious leaders. Who is that today in our lives? It is the religious leaders. So he is basically saying here that except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes, you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So he was saying there that the religious leaders did not have true faith. Why is that? It's because they were hypocrites, as he told us later on. He told us to do what they do. He told us that to obey what they say, but do not do as they do, because they say and do not. So basically, that is the reason why the Pharisees and the scribes were hypocrites, because they would teach the law, but they themselves did not obey the law. Does that sound like the day we're living in right now? where we have preachers that are preaching, and yet they're living in adultery and committing all kinds of sins that is being exposed in the news and in our communities. And in some cases, we already know that they are not living for God, and yet we continue to go to church and try to do what they say, and they are not doing it themselves. And this is what Jesus was teaching us, that we could do what they teach, but do not do what they do. So if they said thou should not commit adultery, that's true. That's the word of God. But if they're committing adultery, don't do that. So he's given us guidance here in the word. And the Bible is basically letting us know that the Pharisees and the scribes were not living correctly. They were living as hypocrites. They were preaching the law, but they were not obeying the law. So God is saying to us that we are not to live that way, and we're going to have to go further than that. Now, that's amazing to a lot of people, because a lot of people feel like the preacher is right, and I can't live as holy as the preacher. Well, some of us don't know that the preacher is not living that holy either. All right? And that's not talking about everybody. But the Bible is basically telling us to go beyond the Pharisees and the scribes. What does that mean? It says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. What the Pharisees and scribes didn't have any righteousness. All they did was try to obey the law, and they wasn't even doing that. So how do we get a righteousness that is greater than the Pharisees and the scribes or the religious leaders? We have to come to Christ. And we've already talked about that, that the law brings us to Christ. So then, the Pharisees and the scribes did not come to Christ. We know that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the Pharisees and scribes set him up and tried to kill him. So they were not obeying the law, and neither would they come to Christ. So if you continue to follow them that are not following Christ, then you might have the same end as they, and you don't want that. But what did Paul teach us? Paul taught us to follow me as I follow Christ. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, follow me. He told Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And when he came to his disciples, the people that would follow him and be his disciples, he kept telling them, he said, follow me, and they followed him. And then later on in the scriptures, we find out Paul was a follower of Christ. And so Paul gave an example. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. So as long as the preachers are following Christ, well and good. But read the word to see if what they say is true. And then only follow them in as much as they follow the word of God. So God wants us to go beyond just being hypocrites and obeying religious rites. He wants us to serve the living God. So we have to walk in obedience, and we have to be well, Jesus told us we have to have a pure heart. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So then Jesus taught us through the scriptures how to walk in a way that would be pleasing to the Father. So if we continue to follow the things that Jesus says, then it's going to help to bring us to God the Father, because we come to Jesus Christ as we are. And we put on his righteousness. We cannot, I don't care how hard we try, we cannot obey all of the Ten Commandments. What did the Ten Commandments say? It says that thou shalt have no other God. It talks about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. And it goes on and on. And we have not been able to obey those commandments, all 10 of the commandments. And the Bible tells us that if we break one, it's the same as if breaking them all. So we have not been able to do that, but Jesus was able to do that. And Jesus paid the price for all of our sins when he died on the cross. And he died so that we could be forgiven through his punishment. He took our sins upon him, and he paid the price for those sins. And now when we accept Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven of our sins. And then we put on his righteousness through accepting Jesus Christ. We receive his righteousness. We did not obey the law, but Jesus did. And it is imputed unto us as if we had done it. So when we receive Christ, we receive his righteousness. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes did not receive Christ, so they don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you can receive Christ and you could put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that's how you can go beyond the Pharisees and the scribes. So if the preacher doesn't receive Christ, you can. Accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then obey the word of God. How do we obey the word of God? The Bible tells us that after Jesus ascended, that he said he was going to send the Comforter, and he did send the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Some say the Holy Ghost, some say the Holy Spirit, same thing. So he puts the Holy Ghost in aside of us to lead and guide us into all truth. I was reading another scripture today that was talking about also in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6, where it says that for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. What is that talking about? Out of thee shall come a governor. Now, we know what the word governor means, but you know what? The governor is also the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit will govern you, govern your mind, and govern your heart, and govern your actions to help to bring you into obedience. A lot of us need a governor that will be with us at all times to tell us to shut up, sit down, be quiet, do this, don't do that. We need a governor. We need some help. And so Jesus Christ died on the cross. When he was with his disciples, he taught them. But he told them that he had to leave and that he was going to send them the Comforter. And the Comforter is that Holy Spirit, that governor. And now you can have the governor, the Holy Spirit, with you at all times to help to govern your actions, to help to govern your mind, to help to govern your heart, to help you, to teach you to do what's right. Because no longer is it obey the Ten Commandments now that you've come to Christ. He's given us a new commandment, that we are to love God and we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And those two commandments, it is the fulfillment of all the 10 of the Old Testament commandments. So once we do that, we are walking in obedience with God. So as I was thinking about where we are today in our nation and the church and about the things that are going on, I found through this scripture here that a lot of us didn't understand that even though we put away the law, the Ten Commandments, the law was to lead us to Christ. And we just studied how Christ was to lead us to God. And then once we were brought to God, we were to serve the living God. So a lot of us have not found Christ or have not found God and do not have a governance over our actions, over our mouth, over our minds, over our behavior. And we need that governance. So that's the reason why in the church and in our nation, we see so much going on because so many people did not understand what the word of God was saying. And some of us stopped following at some point. Whether it was that I cannot obey the law, I cannot stop robbing or stealing or committing adultery and lying, covetousness. And so we gave up. And some people were trying to get to Christ, and they couldn't get to Christ because there were some things going on in their life or in the church or in their understanding, and they did not get to Christ. And it may be something that was about that particular church that blocked you or stopped you, and it may have been that Pharisaical behavior that was blocking you. But God never told us to follow the preacher. Christ said, follow me. And in following Jesus Christ through the scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, we get to serve, we get to the place where we know God and we can serve the living God. And that's where we were trying to get all the time. So we need to examine our lives right now and see where we are. And even though so many people say the law has been put away, Jesus didn't say that. He says that it would in no wise pass away until all is fulfilled. And you say, well, it's been fulfilled in Christ. But yes, has it been fulfilled in you, though? Has the law brought you? Has your efforts to try to obey the law brought you to Christ? And has your receiving Christ led you to the living God? And has your coming to Christ caused you to serve the living God? And if it has not, you stopped somewhere along the way, and God wants you to know today to get back on the right track. All of us need to get back on the right track. Wherever we left off, we need to go back there, confess that sin, and continue to follow, because it will lead us all the way to our heavenly home. I hope you got something out of this teaching today. I know it blessed me today. It is fresh to me today, and I wanted to bring it fresh to you today. So I hope that you got something out of it. I think there's a message and a word there for all of us that we have to continue the journey. We can't stop off halfway. So I hope that you have enjoyed this word and this message today, and I hope you'll join me again next week at Friday at 9:30, or listen to the podcast whenever it's convenient for you. Listen to Truth and Life Ministries from a Christian Perspective with Prophetess Joyce Payne on the Bachelor Pad Network. God bless you. Until the next time.